You know, it's such a shame that hundreds of people had to be put out of this body. Because you see, every one of us are imperfect plants that need pruning back, spraying for the bugs, cutting out and you know, and so forth. And sometimes one gets so bad you gotta throw it out of the greenhouse. And it's such a shame because all the potential was there in God for that thing to be, have been brought back and taken care of. Some have made it back in again. Some of you are in a place that one day you'll be given your leave if you're not careful to practice. Some of you are in a place of first setup, and you can get along all right until certain things happen that the devil has all figured out for you up ahead that you do not know. You do not know it's going to happen. He's plotting on the strategy board, and he's watching you come, and he's got his subs all out there waiting for you. And at the right moment, he's going to say attack. And about that time, you have not come to a proper place, and you will not be able to handle it properly, and the church government will tell you to leave. And you don't know that. Because in your heart, you say, I'll never do that. I'd never do that. But you will. But you will. Because you haven't faced it yet. You will unless you take the precautions to put yourself in the proper place. You need to be in submission to authority. Some of you wives that are blaming your husbands for being where they are, if God would ever show you the true light on this and show you that they're there because of what you've done, because your rebellion and you've taken over their place and you have not allowed them to be what they are and you're responsible for them to be there, you'd weep before God. Instead of blame them, you'd weep, get yourself back in a place, put them back up where they belong so they can do their office. It's important. Some of you are getting married and will get married and have gotten married, and your marriage is not going to work. But it can. But it can. But it won't. Some of you are so positive it's going to work because you're in love. That doesn't make a marriage work. There's the myth that, oh, if you're in love, it'll conquer everything. Not so. Not so. That love will go. That love will die like it came, and it'll go the same way it came. It'll go when you begin putting pressure on each other and attacking and this type of thing. If you don't take care of certain things in your life, if those demon spirits are allowed to remain, they will destroy your marriage. That's true. They will destroy your marriage. I don't care how much you love them and how much you decide not to and how much you won't. If you do not get rid of them, when a certain situation comes, you'll not be able to handle it and you'll react a certain way because you'll give in to the spirit and he will react for you. And the reason people are so deceived in this and do not know these things will happen is because they would never do it. But the demon will. And if you give in to the spirit, he will then have a new opportunity to react in a new situation that you've never been in, and you'll find him reacting because you have always given in to him. It's so important that we take care of this matter of coming to the cross. A lot of the people that are out of the body are out because they did not come to the cross. They did not hear what the pastor was saying. I talked to an individual the other day that was just like the place that Cheryl was in. He was deceived. He did not know what he was doing. He could not believe what we were telling him. He did not know he did not understand. He was under deception. And after several times of talking, I began to wonder what was going to happen to him. Because I knew that unless he brought himself to a place where he would listen, the enemy would sink him. But fortunately, as he was waiting on God and praying and so forth and wanting to submit and making decisions, all of a sudden he was there. The spirit was different. He could see things he couldn't see before. You cannot see yourself as you really are when these spirits are on you. Things will look different. They will seem different. You can be so positive you're right and not understand what's down inside. That's why the Bible says the heart is desperately deceitful, and who shall know it? The spirits come in and deceive. But your hope is to listen to the shepherd God gave you. Because we're not leading you amiss. And when we come and we tell you these things, if you listen, instead of feel hurt that you were corrected. A sister got up here the other day and said, you know, she was corrected and she was hurt because she was corrected. You shouldn't be hurt that you're corrected. You should be thankful that you're corrected. But you see, why? So many people are saying, amen. If you got corrected, you'd be hurt. You know why you'd be hurt? You don't want to be hurt. You decided you wouldn't be, but you would anyway. Because you haven't gotten rid of that demon of hurt. And you give in to that demon of hurt whenever something comes that would be typically, you know, hurtful, that is the embarrassing, something you don't want to face, something that puts you in a lesser light, you would be hurt. Because you haven't got rid of it yet. This one sister, and I'm going to tell this right now. I'm going to correct her right now publicly. I've been proud of this girl, and she's done wonderful in the Lord. But her testimony was one that showed self-pity. I got corrected. Nobody recognized me. We're not supposed to be looking for recognition. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew that God was on me. I got news for her. We knew it. We're not blind. I knew it. I was rejoicing in it. But as soon as that spirit wants recognition, you've destroyed the very thing that God is doing. Because God says, my glory I will not give to another. So what do you want it for? He doesn't want to show his glory with you. His glory he wants all the glory. And so you say, God gave me these songs and I didn't get recognition. God should get the recognition for his songs. Now, I love this dear one. This person is here tonight. Now, this person is right on in the file, and they can do one of two things. They're either going to bow their knee and repent to the Lord. It was an improper testimony. I was embarrassed by it, matter of fact. It was a poor testimony because it wasn't glorifying the Lord. It was just fussing. It was saying that now everything's okay to make any difference, but we knew better. I could tell that it wasn't taken care of, and you could too. She wanted to have it different, but it wasn't. Now, tonight, she's going to do one of two things. She's going to come, and she's going to bow and repent before the Lord and say, Lord, take away that deceptive spirit, and I repent that I wanted recognition. And from now on, Lord, I don't care. I just want, if you can use me, and you get all the glory, Lord, that's fine. I don't care if they knew you give it to me or how I got it. If they can bless others, that's what it's for. It's not full recognition, because recognition is a stumbling stone. If you get all the recognition, it'll just puff you up. And pretty soon your attitude will be poor. And then you'll be robbing God of the glory. Now, either though, she's going to feel hurt by this, and she's going to allow demons to come in and beat her up because of this. Publicly, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be more public. These things are going to happen publicly. Every so often, God's going to lay it upon our hearts to publicly expose. Just like publicly, sometimes God will come and say, all right, you know, I want to heal you, and I want to do this, and I want to call you in ministry, I want to do this. Occasionally, God is going to say, you go ahead and expose that one right there. I don't want anybody to say, oh, but, you know, people will know who it is. That's fine. They're supposed to know who it is. And the Bible says in certain cases to make it known to everybody that all might feel. And so you see what you do before all. And when you walk up those stairs, you take the responsibility of saying, I have that which is given of the Lord, and I am anointed, and I can share it. And if I don't, I am in a position to be corrected, publicly or privately. And because it's done in front of everybody, everybody can see it. Sometimes it needs to be corrected publicly. Sometimes certain people need a public correction. It isn't desirable from your standpoint. Nobody wants to be corrected publicly. Nobody really wants it. Nobody likes it. It doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's the very best thing that can happen to you. Because sometimes, instead of going your own way with your own little private pout, it can put you in a place where now it can hit you in a bigger way. And then you see the thing, and you say, I'm never ever going to allow it to ever happen to me again. And even if you don't react properly, if you really pray about the matter, God can turn it around, and in a few days you can say, I was wrong. And I repent of that. And now I'm not going to give in to that spirit anymore. Now I can say I'm vulnerable. I'm vulnerable. See? Well, I appreciate what God is doing in this place. And I love this dear sister that got up and did this. I've been proud of her because we took her in as a little waif almost. I mean, she was in real trouble, this young girl. And I loved her from the beginning. And the psychiatrist couldn't do anything with her. And group therapies were ruining her. And she came in, you know, just messed up. And I remember saying, you let us have her. And let the Lord deal with her. And the Lord can bring her out of this. The psychiatrist cannot handle. And your group therapy is going to handle. Let us take care of her. Let us do it. Let God do it. And God has done it. We've seen that girl change and grow and develop. And God's blessed her and given her gifts and anointed her. And she's been a beautiful thing for the Lord. And so now she's come to this place. Well, she and God is making another correction. This is going to be for her glory. Because now she's going to learn that she's going to be able to say, Lord, I felt wrong about this. This spirit deceived me. It made me feel that I should get glory and you should all know about it. But now I realize I wasn't thinking this. I was believing something else in here. It was making me feel hurt on a wrong premise. So I trust that she will take this with a big heart, humbly before God, that she'll love me, know that I love her, and she'll say, thank you, Pastor, for this, because I needed it. Doesn't feel good, but I need it. I'm not going to disappoint God or you in that way again. This is a time of soberness.
Yes.
And God is bringing us right face to face with a mirror as to who we are, what's happening in our lives.
Right.
That's what deliverance is all about. See, no man can come to the Lord as long as he feels, I don't need salvation. I'm fine. And no man can be delivered when he feels like, I don't need delivered, I am fine. But God is causing us to see ourselves. You see, one of the prayers the Bible tells us to pray is, Lord, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. And as we do so, it's a blessing for God to expose this thing. Sometimes God spanks us, and that's a blessing. David said, before the Lord chastised me, my foot almost slipped. I almost slipped. He said, I got stumbled. I saw the prosperity of the wicked and how they go on and all that. And some of the people walk with God and poor, being poor. And he said, I just about stumbled. The devil just about had me. And God chasing me. And he said, now I'm careful to walk. I appreciate the testimony of Cheryl Magno tonight. Because now she's saying, she had a very hard thing to overcome. And now she's saying, I'm listening carefully. She's listening more carefully than if she never had the problem.
That's right.
She's listening more carefully than if she'd never been put out of the church.
That's right.
And some of you are going to learn to listen a lot more carefully. Right now, you're careless listeners. That's why a lot of children sometimes get spanked over and over again, and they have a problem because they are careless listeners. They won't listen carefully to what it said. But when God gets through, see, God's going to take you to the top of Mount Moriah. And he's going to take you down around the wilderness of Sinai and down to the bottom of the sea where Jonah went and into Gethsemane. And he's going to take you someplace. And when he gets through, you're going to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You won't flippantly sing anymore, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. You know, in the Gethsemane, any place you go, you know, I'll follow you. You won't be flippant anymore, but you'll say, I'll go there. And I'll be careful. God's going to humiliate some of us in front of some of us. But in the process, we're going to get up out of the ashes and be more careful. Be more careful to walk with God. This is a good thing God's doing because if he doesn't, we'll end up as spiritual brats and we'll never make heaven a home. But if we allow God to bring forth his correction, we'll bring the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And then we'll finally have learned to obey, be careful, to listen, to be sweet, to watch your tongues, to watch your mind, to watch your hearts, to walk softly in the footsteps of the Master and be obedient. And then we'll glorify the Lord. And then, oh, you'll feel the sweetness. Then you'll feel the sweetness of the Lord. Then he'll come to you and talk to you in the night hour. Then he'll love you freely and bless you and strengthen you. Then he'll walk with you and you'll know that no matter what happens, It's all right. He's with you. He's with you. You'll no longer be walking in a fog. You'll no longer be feel like, where is the Lord? He'll be your companion. He'll stick closer than a friend. He'll always be there. You'll be able to trust him. Because now there's a communication. Because now you've surrendered. One final thing. If children do not obey their parents, and if wives do not obey their husbands, and if children and wives and husbands do not obey the pastor and elders, then they are disobeying the Lord. Disobeying the Lord. And when you're disobeying the Lord willfully, time after time after time, and you're constantly breaking the type, you know what happened to Moses when he broke the type? If a man is the type of Christ and a woman is the church, and she's constantly overruling the head, what's God going to do about it? And if the husband, who's the type of Christ, won't love his church and he's breaking that and makes Jesus Christ the tyrant, what's God going to do about it? He cares about his types.
Right.
And we need to be very careful, because the devil's out here waiting to take opportunity for everything that he can snatch. But as we block that out and open up to God, then he will begin to come and to furnish us with what we need in him. And he'll be our strength and sufficiency. And then you'll find this Christian walk won't be a struggle. The struggle comes when you're constantly battling the demons because you let them in the door. The struggle comes because you hear a knock at your door and you open up and the demons come in, and then you're battling and fighting with them. And the room is full of demons and angels and you're all battling. You're calling more angels to come and fight the demons you let in. Eventually you will learn to lock the door and listen and try them and find out who's out there and not let them in. And that's of the right spirit. And then we won't be battling anymore. We'll be buoyed up in the praises of God because we've made the decision and they're not around to bother us. We've not allowed them to come in. We've kept our minds and our hearts right before the Lord and not killed us and let them keep rushing back in again. It's so important to keep yourself in a right place before God, because you can get undelivered all over again. And then you're right back there again. And this time it's going to be more difficult. And every time it's more difficult than before because you've given them license. We need to respect the fact that when God delivers us, that we need not to allow them back in. And we need to fill it with the positive. You can't just get rid of the negative. You've got to fill it. You can't leave a vacuum there. You've got to fill it with love, with the opposite of what the demon is. You fill it in every case with the opposite and practice it like Cheryl's practicing it. And then your life will become stable and you won't be a roller coaster Christian and have all these little secret places in your heart where all the spiders are and little things you're hiding. You won't have that condemnation all the time because there's no condemnation. You're in the Spirit. You're walking with God. You're obeying him and you know it. And you feel wonderful and great because you know everything's all right between you and God. Then you can handle anything.
I believe that the Lord has given me some experiences this week that will tie the first testimony into the last here and give you a vision and something to contemplate. And we'll put this all together so that we can make the commitments that the Lord is requiring of us this weekend. I'm so thankful for the move of the Spirit of God this weekend. I believe the Lord has been very faithful to us in these three services to bring us that which he has desired and that which we need. It'll take me just a few moments to share this, and I'll leave out all the extracurricular things to qualify, but maybe if you would like to stand for a moment to rest yourself, you feel free to do so. I want, first of all, and this will all tie in together, even though at first it may not seem like it's going to, but these are several experiences that I've had this week, and I'm just going to put them all in together. The first experience was that I have begun to experience God's heart for God's people out there, and especially the ministers of God out there that the Lord loves and is very concerned about. And I can't get down to pray, but what my mind and heart is filled with God's heart for them and God's compassion to their hearts, and the place that the devil has taken them into and the deception that they're in and the great hurts and inflictions that the enemy has been able to inflict upon them, and consequently their churches are also under bondage and in sleepiness. And I believe that the Lord is about to move upon His ministers out there that are held in deception and been beaten down by the enemy. And then in turn, it's going to do something to the people that are under their charge. And I feel this happening in me. It's a very strong, powerful thing that is happening in me. God is beginning to do something to give me a heart and to put His heart in me in this area. And I know then that it's just around the corner to this body is going to come into that. I want you to keep that in mind now as we progress here. I see by the Spirit of God why God is doing what He's doing in us, and what is going to happen in the near future, and why God is obligated by His own word to perform in us and do that which He is going to do. I have seen by the Spirit of God, as God has begun to show me exactly what He's going to do in this body and why He's going to do it, the necessity of God's heart that He perform that which is necessary. And so let me preface that part by saying that God has called Community Chapel to a very high calling. That is a vision that God has given. It is a very high calling in God. And God is not satisfied that we be like any other normal church, as it were. But the Lord has called us to a high calling because He wants us to be in a position of perfection before Him, that He might use us in these last days to minister His heart and His love, and therefore He is requiring much of us. He is not satisfied that one area of our life comes under the conformance of God's Word, but rather that every single area of our lives must come into conformity with God's Word. And He showed me how that He has been working very succinctly, accurately, and diligently in this body to perform just that. And that He has caused us by His Spirit to have teaching brought forth on every single subject, so that there is not one single area of our lives that has gone unchecked by the Word of God that has come forth. The Lord has directed this particular government to make every provision for us, that every aspect of our lives can be under and in submission to the Word of God. The financial area, the Lord has brought forth seminars on finances and how to become financially stable and how to budget your money correctly. And we have even set up people who will work and specialize just in that area. The Lord has also given us seminars on budgeting our time, organizing our time, and being able to be efficient in our housework and so forth. And we have not only the record of those seminars on tape that you can check out, but we also have a specific ministry that we have set up that if anybody has trouble in that area and they don't know how to budget their time and they can't get their life in order, they can call that number and that person will make sure that they receive the help they need to have that done. The Lord has brought to us the very, very important thing of tithing and offering, and that is a very integral part of our ministry to Him, and He has been faithful to bring us those guidelines and to make it very clear what He expects of us. The Lord wants our households to be in complete order. He's not satisfied that we come to church looking pretty ourselves when our houses are a mess, and when our yards are filthy, and when the whole house you have to throw it, whatever you call them, in there to blow it up before you can get in, as Don says. I mean, see, the Lord has been faithful to bring us that. He wants discipline in every area of our house. He is not satisfied that we drive filthy cars, that when you go to get in a car that there's so much trash in it that you can't get in. He is not satisfied with that. He's not asking us to be millionaires and own millionaire homes or millionaire cars, but He expects them to be clean. And He's touched on every single area of our lives. And the Lord caused me to see that every one of these areas are very necessary and needed because of the high calling that He has called us to. He is saying, I am going to have a people that know how to move in my spirit, that have the gifts of the Spirit in operation in their lives as just a normal thing, that have all the motives of why they minister and why they do what they do right before me, so that they're not ministering or doing any single thing in their life with the wrong motivation. If there's wrong motives there, I'm going to put my finger on it. I am not going to allow a wrong motive to remain in this body. I'm not going to allow a sloppy housekeeper to remain in this body. I'm not going to allow obese people to remain that are not doing anything about their problem. No, I'm not saying that every person that's fat needs to leave. I'm saying that what we need to do is work these problems, because God has been faithful to bring us this. You see, God wants to make us an example of His holiness, His righteousness, and His Word. We are to become the unfolding revelation of God. We are not, it's not just a theology, it is us becoming that. And so the Lord said, I want you to come with me. And I found myself sitting beside the Lord on the judgment seat. Now, I'm not talking about the great white throne judgment that is set up for the end time when we're all going to stand before the judgment of Christ, but rather, I'm talking about the judgment that the Spirit of the Lord is about to render on His. As I sat there in the vision, and I had this experience, if you've been in a vision and you know that your spirit is right there in the vision, and you feel as if you are experiencing it. And as I was there in the vision and began to experience this, the Lord began to show me, and He said, see over there, see that vast group of people? And I looked out, and there were just masses and masses and masses of people. And I saw in these masses of people that there standing in their midst was pastor after pastor after pastor. And He said, see those people? They're bound by the enemy. They're hurt. They're wounded. They have been deceived. They do not have the life that I've given you. They've not had the privilege that I have given you. I love them. Oh, how I do love them. Some of them are bound in Catholicism. Some of them are bound by other traditional doctrines. But I've reached out. I've caused them to be regenerated by my Spirit. I filled some of them with the Holy Spirit. And I want them. They're my inheritance. Even though they're beat up, even though they're bound, even though they're hurt, even though some of them lost the life that they once had. And I cannot, just because of my commitment to the vision that I have given you, I cannot allow those people in your church to remain. Because if I allow them to remain, then I am not being fair to these people over here. Because I have vowed a vow, and I have said that I will raise up a standard. I will raise up a standard that you might see me. I will manifest myself to you. I will cause you to be able to see what true Christianity is all about. I will cause you to be able to see my love. I will cause you to be able to see a people that love one another, that know how to minister to one another, that have freedom in the gift, that have freedom in body ministry, that are mature, that their lives are in order, so that you can come and you can examine every part of their lives, and all you can see is me. I promised it to them. I promised it to them in this last day, and they're going to get it. They're going to get it. And my vision for you is that you be that. And therefore, to be faithful to my vision that I have given you, I am going to remove every person from your midst that will not come into conformance with my word and will not be obedient to that which I have given them. Because I owe it to those people out there. And it's going to happen. And at that time, you see, I have had a hard time, to be honest with you. I've had a hard time before the Lord wanting to give you up. Wanting to lose one single one of you. Time and again, you know, when somebody's had to be put out of the church, I've just gone before Jesus. I said, Jesus, can't we just, isn't there any know what's going to happen to some of them that go. There's going to be other churches right here in your neighborhood that will be glad to have them. They'll be glad to have them with all their problems and all their disobedience and all their rebellion. They'll take them in all right. And the people that are have to leave, they'll feel, ha-ha. Didn't matter that I left the chapel because now Pastor so-and-so here, he took me in and he put his arms around me and he loved me up and he's saying it's okay. And so then they'll think, nothing's wrong, see? Don't have to go to the chapel. But he says, don't you fear about that. Don't you worry about that. Because those people someday, that pastor out there, those people are not, they're not going to get away with it. I'll bring them back to the very same point that they were when they were dismissed from this place. When my spirit let them go, I'll bring them back to the same point. And that church that they're in will come around to the same point to where they're going to have to accept. And then those people that have left here are going to be brought right back to the point where they left. And so I was able in my heart to release you to Jesus. And I saw then as Gideon had to have his army whittled down to the faithful, obedient, courageous 300. So I'm willing to let God do with you whatever he must do with you. Because I'm committed, as I know many of you are, to the vision that God has given us. I'm committed to be that people that God can put his glory in and that can bring him glory for his great name's sake. And I know that when that day comes, that we might lose, I don't know how many of you, but I know that if you are not a prayer, if you do not have a prayer life, if you are not in a prayer group, God is calling this body to be prayers. I know that. And so if you're not a prayer, you're liable to find yourself outside of what God has for this body. If you're not a giver, if you're not giving a tithe and offering, you're going to find yourself outside this body because that's something that God is requiring of this body. You might be able to get away with it out there in another body, but God is requiring it of this body. If you're not in the Word, and if you're not feeding on the Word, then I know you're outside of what God is requiring of this body because he's requiring us to be students of the Word. He's requiring us to know God's Word. He's requiring us to know God's heart. If you are not moving in a love relationship with Jesus, then you're going to find yourself outside because God is calling this body to be a body who is totally in love with Jesus, that knows Jesus, that has a vital, active, wonderful, stimulating love relationship with him. If you are not seeking the gifts of the Spirit and expecting the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in your life, then you're going to find yourself as one that is outside of this body. Because every single person in this body, when God gets ready to open the door, is going to be a person that can move in the Spirit of God, that can operate the gifts of the Spirit of God, that can show love to one another, that can be bound together with their brothers and sisters in the Lord, and know how to minister the gifts to others, know how to bring a person into deliverance, know how to get rid of the demons. If you're not a person who can fight the demons and come and take authority over them, then you're going to find yourself outside of this move of God because that's what God is requiring. He's requiring us to get on the offensive with the demons and to be able to bring down the strongholds out there over church after church after church. He's requiring us to come against the demons of Catholicism that are binding the charismatic Catholics and to claim victory and deliverance for those people and to bind those strong demons because the Lord filled many of those Catholics with the Holy Spirit and he doesn't want to lose them all back to Rome. He has a plan for them and they're part of his inheritance and he doesn't want the devil to have that inheritance. And all the other traditions of the church, we're going to have to be a people that will come and attack the enemy, and that's why we've got to be a people of prayer. We've got to be a people of authority. We've got to know in whom we have believed. And so if you're not moving in those realms and if you have no intention of moving in those realms, then know that you're not a part of this body. If there's any part of your life that is not in order, If you're still hung up on the world and worldly entertainment and all of the devil's music and all of that, then know that you're not going to be a part of this body for very much longer. If you're all tangled up in just having fun in your life, and if all of your spare time is just taking care of the id, the pleasure-seeking part of you, until you're spending all your time just having fun and doing pleasure, and all tied up in self, then know that you're not going to be a part of this body. If your whole house is not in order, if your family is not in order, if you're not working to put your family in order, if you're not taking the head of your home, if you're not being that submissive wife, etc., etc., we can go right down the line, then know that there's coming a day when you'll not be a part of this move of God. Oh, the Lord is very, very serious about this because He sees the masses out there, and He has given us as many as we are here. We're just a few in God's sight. And yet He can whittle us down till we're just a handful if needed. And He'll be able to do more with that handful when they're totally unified with their pastor, their eldership, and moving in love with no pride left, giving God all the glory, not trying to elbow each other out for a ministry, but recognizing and submitting to one another in love and so forth. He'll be able to do more to us and in us and through us in that state than He would if we became twice as His size. And still have the carnality, the demons in our lives, and the unwillingnesses in our hearts. This is what God is about to do. And I'm praying, Lord, send Your judgment to Community Chapel. Lord, make Your judgment soon. Make it soon, O God. You have given us space. You've given us time to get delivered. You've given us time to get our houses in order. You've given us time to wait upon You. You've given us time to enter into that love relationship. You've given us time to pray and to be prayers. And now, O God, let Your judgment not be too far away. And you know why I can pray that? Because of the hearts that I'm experiencing of those ministers out there. And God's compassion, He longs to be able to bring them in. See, that's what Don shared with you this morning. He's not going to do that alone. He's not going to go down those streets in that chariot. You know what that chariot is, that golden chariot? You guessed it. It's you. This whole body is a unit. And we're going forth together. Now, he might find himself in a pulpit out there without you, but that minister out of that pulpit is going to be right in here among you. And you're going to have to minister to him. And we're going to find that this place is going to be filled with ministers being ministered to by you, that they might be able to see the glory and the power and the beauty of Jesus in every aspect. They're going to be living in your homes. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are your children ready? This touches every single area of our lives, not just the adults. Every single child has to be a testimony. That's why God is doing it. You see, but it's not now that we might be something great and that we might do something for Jesus. It's because we love Him. We love His Word. We love His plan. And He's going to have that people. And we want to be that people that we might glorify Him. And we'll be in that position where only Jesus will be seen in every aspect of our lives. And then we will find out that we'll have that love relationship with Jesus. And that's what's going to matter. Not the fact that you're ministering to ministers or anything else. It's because you love Jesus and you know He loves you and you want to please His heart more than anything else in your whole life.
Well, it's encouraging to know what God is doing and is going to do. Because you know, we've waited so long to be where God's going to take us. We wanted so long to be what we didn't know how to be, didn't know how He was going to get there. But see, God has promised, and He's going to take us there, and He is doing that. These are encouraging things to me, because they're signals. See, when God begins talking this way to His people, it's a signal. When God starts requiring big things, it's a signal He's going to do big things. It's a signal the people of God are moving to a place where they can hear those things. When you're still talking about baby things and, you know, and what's salvation, and then we're going to start a series on water baptism and there'll be one on, you know, this type of thing. You know, they're just babies. They're not very far along yet. Still needing the very first principles. But when God is talking about these things, you know, and putting that upon our hearts, that the people of doors are at least a big nucleus moving into an area that God can do something. He's doing something. There's big things up ahead, big things. There really is. We're moving to a place the world has never been before, the church world has never been. The Bible says we are living epistles, read and known of all men. Now, this is why it's important that every person be what he should be in the assembly, because you are a living epistle. And you're being read of all men out there you come in contact with. They're reading you. And when they know you go to the chapel, see, you are reflecting something. People say, they come in contact, hear all kinds of bad rumors about the chapel. They come in contact with two people, or three, and they're different than what they hear. They say, oh, but you know, I found out those things are a lie on the basis of two or three people. They don't say, well, most of the churches probably messed up, but at least there's two or three good ones. They decide the whole rumor is wrong. The whole rumor they believe on the basis of one person, and they throw it away on the basis of two or three. And see, they're reading you. And if you're not a good witness on the job, your church doesn't look very good. And your Jesus doesn't look that great either. There are people that think that their life is their own. And what they do is their own business. But the Bible says we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We've been purchased. He owns us. We do not own ourselves. We have no rights. You've got no rights. You surrendered them when Jesus accepted you in Calvary. You were head of the lake of fire and you surrendered your rights and said, I will be a love slave to God and do all His Word says. And then His Word says, I have placed men in place of responsibility over you, and you are to obey them. And you're to be persuadable, too. And all of a sudden you say, you don't have any rights. You've given them up. But the church has erred because the church has got a world view. And the church thinks, I'm my own. I have a right to my own pride. I have a right to my own business. I have a right to make my own decisions. I don't have to listen to the church. They can't interfere with my life. It's not your life. You've been placed under authority. Your sheep have been placed in a sheepfold under a shepherd. And you're not your own. You're not your own. You may not like fleecing time, but you're not your own. You may not like the washing time, but that's the way it is. See, this is God's work. And all those that don't agree, well, God's going to weed them out. There's going to be a people for His name's sake. See, the Bible says, be not slothful in business. People say, well, it's my business whether I pay my bills or not. I don't think that's the church's business. Do you know why people don't know anything in the church's business? They have no idea of what God really has set up. They don't know what He's requiring. They have got a total wrong picture. They're thinking of the Lutheran church out here that all they do is you come in any way you are, drink, smoke, go to stag parties, live any way you want. That's not the pastor's business. Go to the Episcopalian church, whatever. I'm talking about more liberal ones now. There are some others that, well, they've got pastors in some of those churches that are watching after the flock and doing better. But, you know, a lot of the old-line churches that have been moving the liberal, they don't think it's any of their business how somebody lives. That's their own private life. Their job is just to, you know, read the Lord's Prayer and sing a few songs and, you know, recite a few things. But that is not the way God designed the church. God has told us that we are to reprove and correct with all authority. And He has given direction. If they do not work, don't give them a dime. Don't let them eat. Let them go hungry. Let them go hungry. Better that they get hungry till they learn. You see, it's not up to you. You think most people think, what's up to me if I'm out of a job, if I want to work or not? That's not true. That's not true. You're being read by other people. You're disobeying the scriptures. You're expecting others to give you handouts. Well, that's my business. My brothers and sisters want to take care of me. It's not your business. They have no business taking care of you in the first place if you won't eat. And then they're disobeying the scripture. A lot of Christians run around saying, well, God provides for me. That's a lie. You're making God break His own word. He's not providing for you. Some of God's saints who love you and are a little bit careless in the wood and disobeying God's word are taking care of you, and they're feeding this bad habit of yours. Instead of letting everybody let you starve, let you walk, let you get to a place where you're finally willing to take care of yourself. You see, it's not your business whether your yard is sloppy or not, and whether your house is sloppy. It's not your business. It is the church's business. It's the church's business. Because we're responsible. It's not the little girl's business whether her room is cleaned up or not. It's the mother's business whether the daughter's room is cleaned up. Because she's making the house look bad to other people. It's my room, Mama. No, it's not your room. You're just using it. And your life is not your own, you're just using it. It belongs to Him. And it's the church's business. If your houses are messy and your yards are messy and everything else is messy, your cars are messy and all this, because you're giving a bad impression. I really would love to have, and I proposed this a while back and got shot down, but one of the days we're going to be able to propose it and not have a shot down. And what I'm saying is this: I would like to print and give you free of charge, with your money, of course, paying for it, but give you without buying it, so everybody gets one, a red bumper sticker that's waterproof, that says Community Chapel, a few things on it. So have Community Chapel signs all over the city. Everybody's going to Community Chapel, it looks like. But you know how I get shot down? Now, I know accidental happens sometimes. But carelessness, the police pull you over, Community Chapel. All I'm pulling over is Community Chapel, people, seems like. Here's this person, bad attitude, disope, Community Chapel. See, in other words, if we can radiate a good image, that would be good. But when there's people abusing it, then it hurts you. The image you're portraying hurts you. How you are in the job is not your business. It's our business, and it's God's business. You have a responsibility before God to let people know that you are son of the King, and that you are in love with Jesus, and you care for their souls. And if you're hiding on your job, you're disobeying the Lord. You got the Holy Ghost and didn't fulfill the contract. He said you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses. But you got the Holy Ghost and didn't go out and be a witness. You wanted the tool. You wanted the company to buy you a truck, and now you won't use it and carry anything in it. You are witnesses. He said, you are my witnesses. Witnesses of what? It's important you be really witnesses of Jesus. See, really. The Bible says if a person is out of step, put him out. The Greek word is, it's a military term, and it says if you are out of step with the rest of the army, to put them out of the army. There are people who think the church doesn't have any right to put you out. Just because I'm out of step, there's no reason to put me out. But you see, you have a responsibility to be in step. You're not your own. We are marching in a step directed by the commander, and you are to be in step, and move in step, and march in step. Some people think their own hairstyle is their own business, but it's the church's business. They can understand, you might be legalistic. They think you're legalistic if you follow the scriptures. The church world is in such a bad shape that they do not know the responsibility of themselves or the church. They totally misjudge the church's authority and position, haven't got the slightest idea what God called them to do. They were living in a world of Laodicean independence, and they think they have a right to bounce into any church they want. You don't really have a right to go in those churches. Everybody don't. You go where God sends you. You don't leave until he gives you leave. They think, oh, I can go someplace else. But you see, God's never designed it that way. The sheep jump over the fence and wander into somebody else's sheepfold. Churches that take people in that have been put out, they will either become like the people they take in, or they will change those people, or they will spend lots of energy and then they'll put them out. One of the three. Now, when a church is small, like, 100 people, 125, 150, and somebody comes in, everybody knows who it is. It's real easy for them to know and to find out where you're from and, and find out what church and call up the pastor. Now, when you get to be a big like this, it's really very difficult. You can have 300-400 visitors in a night. People come in droves. There's no way to keep track of them once you get big enough. And so it's more difficult. But the same principle applies. If you come in all messed up, we have to spend the energy. And then we become somewhat like you for a while until we get you changed. And if we can't get you changed, then we want to throw you out because we don't want to become like you. We want you to become like us. And so when you come into this church, don't come in, on your high horse thinking, well, I have a right to come in and be whatever I want. You don't. If you come in, you will sing, I want to be a part of you. And if you become a part of us, then be a part of us. And move this way. I was going to say, and I led up to it and didn't say, about the hair I mentioned. See, Paul said that it's a shame if a man have long hair. And then he turned around and said, but if any man seem to be, and he said, if it doesn't even nature teach you that it is a shame, but he said, but if any man seem to be contentious about this matter, contentious with the nature, so people, well, and about nature, they don't know God's plan and don't know the typology. Then he says, I got one more thing for you that will settle it. That is, we don't have that tradition. A Greek word custom means tradition. We don't have that tradition. In other words, that customary tradition. We don't have that thing in our church, neither do the other churches of God. In other words, you are to be like us. And so if you walk in with long hair, we don't have, even if you will want to be contentious about what nature teaches and the typology and all the rest, we don't have that custom. What's Paul teaching? You are to conform, be conformed, even as he says, to be conformed, you see, into that particular image of that which you join. Because you're joining it. See, if you go join the Rangers, then you are to be like the Rangers. That's right. And if you join a rodeo, you're to be like the rodeo people. See? You join the Navy, you're to be like the Navy. You can't walk in your Boy Scout suit in the Navy. See? The reason that not tithing off the first part of your income, off the top, is wrong is this. Let me tell you why it's wrong to see how much money you got left over first and then give. Because that is saying to the Lord, Lord, I believe that my dentist should be taken care of, even though he gets a good wage. And my doctor should be taken care of for taking care of me. And I believe that the grocer should be taken care of and the people who can put in my telephone and all these things should be taken care of. But Lord, if there's any left, I believe you should be taken care of. I believe your work should be. But I am placing your work as the lowest priority in my life. And I believe that I should have a telephone and a fairly nice car, picnicking and swimming, and a place down at the spa, and a few things like this, even though you cannot operate as you intend. Because you are the bottom priority for me. I don't value you high enough in what you've done in my life, and the work of God you set up, and the ministry and mission. It doesn't matter to me that much whether they ever get accomplished what they need to and get out and reach out. As long as I'm in the building, I don't care about other souls. I don't care that there isn't enough money collected that we can bring all of our children to Christian school, not only have to leave half of them out. I don't care that there's not enough money to reach out with television and show others what God is doing here. I don't care about them. You are the very lowest on my priority. If I have anything left, I'll flip you a dime. You're like the beggar on the street. The others are my obligations. You I give if I have anything. It's a total affront to God to put him the lowest in his work and decide everything must be worth. Lord, I have enough money to buy mints, bubble gum, toys for the children. My toys for my children are more important than you, Lord, and your work. They're going to have, I mean, even though they get a room for the toys, they're going to have new ones because they were born 1 year ago. And because they were born 1 year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago on the date, although you never did say have birthdays, I am going to buy them new toys, even though they got so many old ones they hardly know what to do with them. They're falling over them half the time. But your work I'll give you if I have. You see, this is an abomination in the sight of God. And so many Christians are justifying themselves in their position. They're totally wrong. They're totally wrong. I want to live this way, Lord, and have this standard of living, a standard that is commensurate with disobedience to you. In other words, I can't afford at my standard to give you what you ask for. And I'm not going to lower my standard because I have based it on a rebellious standard, a non-giving standard. And once I'm used to a rebellious standard, I'm not going to change. You see, it's so wrong. And when God puts the light on it, we'll see that this is important because God's work is suffering from and not able to do what it wants to do. Now, there are people that, this has never been heard, I've never heard this in this assembly. But sometimes people don't say everything they think down inside either. And a person could say, you know, the old justifying spirit, well, I would give if they didn't, you know, but they've got nice things down at the church. They spend the money how they spend the money, and they got all these nice trees outside, and they got these nice curtains, they got this, and they got that, and, you know, and, you know, if it was if the building, you know, shook every time an airplane went over, if it was built just as thin as it could be, and everything was as cheap as it could be, and that doesn't always mean that you pay more money sometimes by buying cheap stuff, because your labor is the same to put in cheap material, and you have to keep replacing it all the time, and you end up paying a lot more for it in the long run. Nonetheless, if you're in that kind of frame of mind, look what God had him do over in the building of the tabernacle. Well, Lord, I would give you the tabernacle. It wasn't going to be a lush place and have gold in it, you know, and silver in it and all this type of things. I mean, you know, if they made the thing cheap, then, you know, and with Solomon's temple, I mean, look at that, Lord. I mean, if it were not so grand, then I would give my tithe. But I'm not going to give when I live in a place like this and this and this and this and this. But you see, Jesus knew all of that. And God knew all that in the Old Testament when he gave that command. And he even told him what to build and how to build it and what to make it of. And he said gold. See, God doesn't want his place to be the barn. You say, but isn't that wasting money? He wants to show that God's people think high enough of it that they're willing to adorn it with that which shows something, shows respect. Otherwise, we could have old wooden floors and old wooden benches on nail kegs and all of this. Not the length of time I preach, but we could have them, you know. Bring your pillows. But, you see, it would be showing we don't respect very much. We're not willing to give very much to the work of God. I mean, this isn't we don't hold it very highly. Now, a couple more things. The time of reading is not yet. Sometimes we get a poison plant that we got to put out. But the time of reading is not yet. But come the day when every member is loaded with lush fruit, and you're still standing there with stalk branches going like this to the sky, brother, it's going to show up. In fact, you'll probably be so miserable, you'll just leave. You'll be so miserable that everybody's in the glory but you. You'll have critical spirits come to you because you'll have to find something to blame about them so you won't feel so bad being where you are. You know that's where people are? If you get too good, they'll blame you. That's right. The world hates goody good. You know, good has always been a good to them. Oh, you're all goody good. There was one rebellious wife that left the church and left her husband. You know what she said? But her husband said, "You know, you have a good husband. He's really moving against you. Yeah, a goody good. Yeah, he's goody good two shoes or something. Goody good shoes." Only thing she could say about her husband, he was so good all the time. Well, he was too good for her, that's sure. And that's framework. But there comes a day when those who have been given space and are still sitting, it's no longer right then to keep them in the vineyard, because at that time, everything should be producing. I want you to know this. This is not just a church where you come and sit down and plunk down. This church has, as my wife said, has high requirements, not unreasonable requirements, because God is able in every one of you. There's not a one of you that can't move in God. This is a place for those who want to be perfect, like God's commandment. Be ye perfect. You say, well, my standard isn't that high. Well, then your standard isn't the Bible standard. This is a place for Bible standards. Now, for a while, we build with those who don't have the vision, because they can get the vision. But after you've had opportunity to have the vision, it's been preached and shown and worked in your midst, and then you still don't have the vision, then you're in the wrong church, because you come with the ground. Those pews will be needed by somebody else who will worship the Lord, love Him, and have a good testimony, and pay their tithe, and be obedient, and walk in righteousness, and be able to minister to others. One more last thing, and that is, you see, if you're in a position of just taking in and not giving out, you're also not in a proper position unless you're a newborn. If you're in a newborn, you're not required to give out anything. Just go ahead and take it all in. But as soon as you grow up a bit, you have a requirement to give out. And if you don't give out and don't do work around the house, you know, and you're growing up, you're an improper son. Some people want to spend their whole life and get taken care of by mom and dad, and they're 40 years old, and there's not a thing wrong with them except they're lazy, and they won't do a thing. But you see, there comes a time when dad will give the big lazy bum the boot out of the house. You know, time he's 23 and gets up at 11 in the morning, he's unshaven, he won't do a thing around the house, mom's still making his bed and taking care of everything, he gets the big boot. But you don't give them the big boot when they're just 3 months old. I kid you not, what you keep. So when you're brand new, we don't expect you to give out. But there are some people, you know, just like the little kid wants to take over. He's in the high chair. He wants to do all the talking at the table. And then you have to shut him up. He doesn't know half of what he thinks he knows. They want the adults to do the talking, not to have the little kid telling everybody where everything is. We need to know our station. And we need to feel the responsibility of the place that God has put us. I trust no one took offense tonight. I trust that you're all appreciative that your church is wanting to move with God, not hold sloppy standards, but take you higher so you can be something that you always wish you could be. We're going to be to the glory of God. Those, for just a few moments, not very long, in music ministry that want to come up and provide a backdrop for those that are coming for a few moments, music ministry may do that. The rest of you are dismissed in the name of Jesus. Be careful with your lives. Think. Check your life over. Check and see what's happening. Make decisions. And the Lord will bless you. And He'll see you through. We'll work with you. We'll love you. We'll be patient with you. We'll care for your soul. Don't just run and don't let those spirits come to you and say, well, I'm no good. I might as well quit. They're going to throw me out anyway. Don't do that. Instead, trust the Lord that He'll, and say, I am going to come up to the standards that God wants. I'm not going to say, well, if that's the way it is, I'm leaving. Say, if that's the way it is, I'm going to rise to that place. I'm going to trust God. He's going to do that work in me. Make right decisions, because your whole future life depends upon it. God bless you.